Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just about 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, April the 3rd. What do you feed your pet? Were you feeding your pet one of the brands that has been recalled in recent weeks? Are you avoiding wheat gluten entirely in the pet foods that you buy? We will talk with a guest this hour who says maybe you should consider organic pet food. Many more people are these days in light of the massive pet recall of pet food in recent weeks. The FDA believes contaminated wheat gluten from a company in China is behind the recent deaths and illnesses of cats and dogs around the country. And yesterday, the FDA blocked imports of the product after it discovered the chemical melamine in samples of it and also in cats who died after eating the food. The U.S. has recalled nearly 100 brands of pet food made with the contaminated ingredient, and it is believed that more pet food could be recalled in the next few days. Melamine is used in plastics, countertops, glue, fire retardants, and other products. Its toxicity to dogs and cats is unknown, but it is not allowed in food in any quantity. So how concerned are you about this pet food recall? And are you considering an organic or even raw food diet for your pet? Is there anything you can do to make sure your pet is eating safe food? What are you doing? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890. You can also send us an email to talk@wpr.org. We will talk with two guests during this first hour of the program who promote organic or raw pet foods as an alternative to the usual manufactured pet foods. We will start with Rochelle Lavins, who is owner of Heidi's Homemade in Columbus, Ohio. She is a member of the USDA Pet Food Task Force, and she joins us from Columbus. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you.
So what's, what's your latest reaction to the latest news on this pet food recall?
Well, it's very alarming, but I'm not surprised.
Why not?
Well, just in the past 7.5 years, the research I've done on pet nutrition and foods, it's really, unfortunately, not a very well-regulated industry.
Yeah.
And as much as this is a wake-up call for America, I mean, it's a horrible situation, but I think that people will realize they need to pay more attention to what's going on in the pet food industry.
Well, I'll just my personal story is I was feeding my pet not one of the immediate recalled foods, but I was feeding my pet a product that contained wheat gluten, and I have to tell you, shattered. You're watching for any, drinking more water. Is my dog or cat sick? And I am now considering what is it that I should do. You promote organic foods.
Yeah, we manufacture our own treat line, and in the process of actually putting together a organic raw food diet as well.
Yeah. What exactly is a raw food diet?
A raw food diet is it's a food, but it's actually fed raw meat. And it's based on back to the theory when animals were domesticated, that we just basically change what we fed them versus what they would naturally eat.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought it was. But isn't there some danger to raw meat?
Yeah, I mean, my research is that our animals' guts and digestive systems are much smaller than ours, so they digest food so much faster. So the chances of E. coli and salmonella are really minimal because it doesn't stay in their system as long as it does in ours.
Yeah. And the organic food line just means that whatever's in there wasn't treated with any kind of pesticides, or what exactly does the organic mean?
Yeah, organic means that is true, that it has to be, the ingredient itself has to be grown a certain way, and it's subjected to an actual certification where an outside certifier has to certify any ingredient that's labeled organic. So you have a agency that will come in and certify these ingredients to determine that they are exactly organic safe.
Yeah. Do your products contain wheat flour or wheat gluten?
I do. I do currently use some organic wheat. I don't use wheat gluten, and all of our treats are actually pure ingredients, so it's no processing done to them. But I use alternatives such as barley flours, rice flours, spelt flours.
Yeah, well, wheat gluten is a is what?
Well, I'm not. I'm probably not exactly sure. I know it's a processing to the wheat is what it is.
Yeah, and if you use organic wheat flour, you're saying the chances of some sort of contamination of that wheat flour itself are minimal.
Right. There would be no. I mean, based on some of the reports that are coming in, that particular product that they're finding can be a fertilizer, and in organic there would be no fertilizers.
Yeah. What sort of reaction are you getting from your own customers about this recall?
Well, I think people are terrified right now. I'm seeing fear. I'm seeing anger, worry. I mean, there's people I've seen that have actually fed the food. We're having a big increase in website action and orders and calls. And I think the misconception some people have is that they feel like if they're buying a higher-priced food, they just were, I think, more shocked at the fact that that same ingredient is used in multiple foods. And they feel like if they're paying a higher price, they were getting a better quality of ingredients, and that's not always true.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit that was one of my thoughts that crossed my mind, too. We will wonder what's on the minds of our listeners right now as we talk about this pet food recall and alternatives for our pets. Many are turning to more organic or natural foods or even a raw food diet. We are talking with a guest who promotes organic dog and cat foods, and the raw foods as well. And we welcome your questions and comments for her. And we wonder if you are indeed changing the diet of your pet, or maybe you've been doing this all along. Why is that? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. Our program, in part based on the latest news that the U.S., the FDA, is blocking imports of wheat gluten from a company in China after an investigation has implicated the contaminated ingredient in recent pet food deaths of cats and dogs. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 19 minutes past 6 o'clock right now on this Election Day, Tuesday, April the 3rd. The FDA has blocked imports of wheat gluten from a company in China following the recent pet deaths that led to a massive nationwide pet food recall. The FDA took the action because imported wheat gluten from China is suspected in the outbreak. The FDA also reported late last week that it found the chemical melamine in samples of the gluten. The import alert on the agency's webpage notifies its field offices to detain any wheat gluten offered for import from the company. We did get a caller who wondered if this was in the human food supply, and right now the FDA says it does not believe it has entered the human food supply, but the tainted pet food has resulted in kidney failure in animals across the country. The official confirmed tally of deaths right now, 15, but anecdotally, hundreds of pets are believed to have died from this contaminated food. What is a pet owner to do? Well, some are turning to organic or raw food diets, and we are talking with a guest in this half hour about these options. We'll have a different guest on coming up after 6:30 as well. And we welcome your questions and comments and your reactions to this recall and wonder what you are doing in light of this news. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And our first caller is Joy in Fountain City. Hi, Joy. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a story about two cats that I've had. One was about 6 years ago now, and he started getting sick and getting a big fat belly on him. He ate good, but then he couldn't keep his food down, and I always fed a commercial food that I thought was high quality, and he eventually died. And the one I have now, about 3 years ago, the same thing started happening, and I had made the jump to organic and raw food, organic raw vegetables and grass-fed meat, and I started thinking, well, I'm going to feed my cat the same way. And he made a total turnaround. He was on the point of death. The vets had had him in the hospital a couple of times and had advised me to make a jump to a different kind of processed food that was put out by them, and it just didn't seem to help. So I put him on raw meats, and he turned around. He lost the belly, slimmed down, got more active. His coat got glossy again. And so as far as cats are concerned, I totally agree with your guest that we've taken them and started feeding them processed foods that nature never intended them to eat. And I support the jump to raw mm-hmm. meats and raw foods, for at least for cats.
Yeah. What's your kitty's name, Joy?
Bud.
Well, I'm glad he's doing, or she's doing well. Rochelle, you had a similar situation with your dog, Heidi?
Yeah, all of my animals. And we went to raw after researching, and I've had animals that have been, you know, kidney problems who are now corrected. I mean, their enzyme levels go back to normal. I mean, I think one of the biggest things in a lot of the dry foods, and one thing that people probably should be aware of, is how much grain is really in their food. That's another. It's a very inexpensive ingredient and used a lot as a filler. So the less grain in your food, if you're going to do commercial foods, the better. Again, because their bodies are not used to digesting that type of grain.
Especially cats?
Even more so with cats. I mean, dogs are, it's really been controversial whether they're really omnivores or carnivores, but cats are totally carnivorous. I mean, they are total meat eaters.
Yeah, well, I know I'm going to do a lot more research. I have a dry cat food that I was feeding, I was until 2 days ago feeding my cat, but it doesn't contain wheat gluten, it contains corn gluten, and you're just suspicious of everything.
Right.
Now. Yeah. Joy, thank you very much for your call and your, I guess, advocacy for a raw food diet for your cat. You also are concerned about commercial pet food because of the whole slaughterhouse aspect of it, Rochelle?
Yeah, and it's even if you look at the FDA website right now, I mean, there's a lot of information on there, but it's just really who's really watching what's going on. I mean, the FDA is ultimately responsible, but in the history of how food's regulated, they've relied on the models established by AFCO, which is the American Feed Association. And they've pretty much have written all the models for pet food, and the FDA's relied on that agency, which is not a government agency, to really establish the regulations for food and nutritional profiles. So there's been a lot of leeway, I think, as far as what manufacturers can do or where they can get their ingredients or what kind of ingredients they can actually use. And you see the trend now. The food industry is growing very rapidly, and everybody wants into it because it's a very profitable industry for any manufacturer.
Yeah. Tim in Sparta is with us next. Hello, Tim.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have two Hungarian Vizslas, and I feed them a brand that's called Eagle Brand dog food. It's not something you find in Walmart. I have to drive all the way to Holman to actually get it. But my question, I had two questions. On the organic stuff, is it expensive? What's the cost of it? And number two is you're talking a lot about, I'm hearing people saying about giving the animals raw meat. And my second question is my dogs that are extremely friendly, never bitten anyone. However, I throw out some raw meat, and that's the only time they really get more intensified. And I know that there's a risk there of biting. Like if one of my five kids come over to them while they're eating the raw meat, they get really kind of mean. And just like 2 years ago in Elroy, where that one girl, little girl, was killed, I know there was raw meat was involved in the house. They were feeding them raw meat, and these big dogs kind of went on a kind of a frenzy.
Hmm.
Is there a risk of that?
Not that I'm aware of. I think, obviously, it's how animals are around food, and obviously anything that smells better to them, they're probably going to be a little bit more protective of. But I've never heard of that related to actually that type of feeding.
Yeah.
I think those are more isolated incidences and probably have more issues besides just the food they're eating.
Yeah.
And then secondly, with the organic food, organic food does cost more, and it is because it's more labor intensive. And what I say is that I think it offsets any vet bills you see. I mean, I'm not saying it guarantees that it will fix anything or everything, but just from what I've seen, my animals very rarely go to the vets. I mean, skin allergies are probably the number one reason people take their animals to vet today, and a lot of that is because of the ingredients they're eating. So I think it does have that side of it where you would have cost savings by feeding a better diet of organic foods.
Yeah. Kind of piling on here, the Hill's Science Diet, one of their prescription diets was part of the most recent recall. Well, they voluntarily recalled it because it had wheat and gluten in it. But you think here's a special veterinary prescribed prescription diet that has something in it that could hurt our pets.
Which is probably very expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you very much, Tim. Dr. Fred. Oh, what is this? Fred in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, this is a wake-up call. 3 points. Number one, most people in the United States and the Western world are obese. We eat and eat and eat. Number two, why in the world do we have to outsource gluten while we have so much? Point number three, this is also a wake-up call for terrorists, how easy it is to kill massive numbers of pets and also people. Personally, I will never, ever buy canned food anymore.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening.
Well, thank you very much, Fred. I guess Fred is a physician, and you're saying that just not buying canned food may not be the total answer, though, Rochelle.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think the issue with the canned food is that I don't think it has as long as a baking process, so I think that's why it's higher levels in the chemical they're finding. But, I mean, he brings up a good point as far as it is interesting how we do import something that's so readily available here, and I would have to believe it's the cost. I mean, I would believe it must be that advantageous for these manufacturers to bring in tons and tons of wheat products from other countries.
Yeah. Now, we only have a minute more with you, Rochelle. You are on this USDA Pet Task Force. What are you doing on there, briefly?
Well, a year and a half ago, the USDA put a task force together because there were no, and there still are no organic regulations for the pet food. People, I think, are misconceived about that as well. A year and a half ago, I joined a group of 12 people and from all different industries and all different levels of corporations, and we have written organic regs,
mm-hmm.
which are still not in process. They're right now at the National Organic Standards Board's in review, and they're stating that it may be 2008 before the regs are actually put in place.
Well, we'll leave it there with you. We appreciate your time. You have a website, HeidiSBakery.com.
Correct.
Thanks a lot for being with
Thank
us.
Thank you, Joy.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 6:36 on this Tuesday, April the 3rd. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about the heightened concern of pet owners these days and the heightened interest in organic and raw food diets for pets. In light of the massive pet food recall of recent weeks, the FDA yesterday broadened the recall and also blocked imports of wheat gluten from a company in China after an investigation found that the chemical melamine, which is used in plastics and is not allowed in food in any quantity, is in the wheat gluten that many pet companies were using in especially their wet foods, but also some dry products. The tainted pet food resulted in kidney failure in an unknown number of pets across the country. The number of confirmed pet deaths remains at roughly 15, but anecdotal reports suggest hundreds of pets may have died. Menu Foods, a major manufacturer of nearly 100 store and major pet food brands, first announced the recall on March 16th. Hill's Pet Nutrition Incorporated, Del Monte Pet Products, and Nestle Purina Pet Care have also recently recalled some of their products as well. I thought I was okay with the Nestle Purina product that I was feeding my dog until late last week, when we heard that that Nestle Purina also produced some products using this wheat gluten from this Chinese company. Then just the other day, my husband pulled the Science Diet product that we were feeding our cat. Even though it wasn't the specific prescription brand that was recalled last week by Hill's, but we didn't want to take any chances. I am now avoiding any product, any pet product, containing any wheat gluten whatsoever, just because we don't know. I did purchase some organic pet food the other day. I didn't know that Paul Newman makes organic pet food, but I was at the Whole Foods store in Madison the other day and decided to pick some up. It's a little bit pricey, but decided that it was worth it. We wonder, what are you doing? What are your concerns now? Have you changed the diet of your pet, or have you been feeding your pet an organic or raw food diet all along? We welcome your questions, your thoughts, your concerns. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. We heard from a guest in our first half hour who promotes organic cat and dog food or a raw food diet for cats and dogs. She also was on the USDA's Pet Food Task Force. In this half hour, we will welcome in Stacy LaPointe, who is founder and owner of Companion Natural Pet Food in Milwaukee, which specializes in fresh raw foods for pets. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for being with us. So how much, I guess, heightened interest are you seeing in your products in light of this recall?
Quite a bit. We do get a lot of calls and emails, people inquiring that normally wouldn't, that are discovering a little bit more about natural foods. We, as a manufacturer, of course, are not seeing as much of an increase as the retailers themselves, because the retailers have a stock on their shelves and in freezers, but that's going quickly, and now the orders are starting to pick up like crazy. So, yes, people are very concerned.
Yeah. Our guest in the last half hour I mentioned has lots of organic pet foods. She also does have some raw pet foods. You specialize in raw pet foods?
Correct. Those are all fresh frozen diets for dogs and cats, beef, chicken, turkey, and duck, and fish.
Yeah, what are the benefits of doing a raw food diet?
Well, really, it's very simple. We're just imitating the prey animal concept. Dogs and cats are carnivores, especially cats. They're obligate carnivores. They have to have animal protein, and they have to have high-quality animal protein to not just survive, but to thrive. That's the thing. Kibble often, dry foods and canned foods are cooked. They're not a species-appropriate diet. They're really a convenience item for humans and a big moneymaker for corporate conglomerates. So what we do is we just get back to nature. We're imitating a prey animal concept by not using any grains whatsoever. We don't use corn, wheat, oats, barley, any of those products at all. So, of course, no wheat gluten. It's all meats and vegetables and a few supplements, including a vitamin and mineral premix that we add. But it is just ground up, mixed up, packaged, and frozen. So you buy it frozen, and you thaw it out, and you feed it. And it's as if your animal has caught a prey animal, but we've just done the work for them.
Yeah, but there's no thrill of the chase. But
exactly.
What about, though, the the concern that I have heard some voice that, you know, just because it's raw doesn't mean it's safe.
Well, luckily, I think I can speak for the vast majority of raw pet food companies out there. I think there's probably fewer than 100 that are sizable enough to say that they, market out of their state. But we all use human-grade ingredients. All the meats and vegetables that we use come from the same packing houses and produce suppliers that the hotels, restaurants, and grocery stores all over carry. So you can rest assured that your pet is eating the same ingredients that you buy for yourself when you go to any major grocery store. We do not produce an organic food yet. However, we're just about to launch our organic turkey, which is made from organic turkeys raised in Wisconsin. And that product will be out in a couple of months in stores.
Mm-hmm. And it'll be somehow certified organic? There is no way now, is there?
We can become certified organic. That's a process, of course. The turkey itself is certified organic, but in order for us to certify our product as 100% organic, we would have to get our plant certified, which we are going to work on, but that is a long step. It's really, my goal has been to get a fresh, raw, human-grade product out there for dogs and cats in our region. When I first started this company 6 years ago, the only product available was something called Steve's Real Food, and that was a company from out on the West Coast, started back in 1998, and Steve Brown of Steve's Real Food, was really kind of the trailblazer to start marketing a raw food diet for pets nationwide, and it was hard to find. And so I was making pet food for my own pets just based on some research I had done, and the results were amazing. So friends and family wanted it, and it just snowballed. And, six and a half years later, we're now doing, upwards of 100,000 pounds a year.
Yeah. What do you mean the results were amazing?
Well, when you get them off grains, a lot of the general just chronic situations that you may think are normal with a pet are not normal. They will go away. Things like allergies, like stinky, gunky ears, itchy, flaky skin, dry coat, constant shedding, poor breath, and just poor stools. Some vets will say your pet should be going on a senior food at 6 or 7, and, some dogs are really just middle-aged at 6 or 7, and we don't need to be feeding them senior food. If you put them on a species-appropriate diet, which is grain-free, they don't end up with carbohydrate overload, which stimulates diabetes. Cancer tumors feed off of sugar in the blood, which comes from carbohydrate overload. These are carnivores. They use fat and protein as fuel. They do not process carbohydrates for energy like humans do. So here we are pumping them with 40, 50% carbohydrates with the dry food. Even the canned food has an awful lot of grains in it, hydrolyzed soy protein. Legumes and grains are not natural for dogs and cats. And it's not natural to feed them cooked food, but, of course, some people, will not feed or cannot feed raw for whatever reason, and there are some really high-quality, human-grade, dry and canned foods out there. You just usually can't find them at the major chain stores and the large department stores. They're usually at the smaller boutiques, and if you go to our website, we have a list of our retailers, and many of them carry great dry and canned foods as well.
Steve in Green Bay joins us. Hi, Steve. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I would just like to mention that cats, small cats and large cats, I don't know if they're completely related, but I do know that the major zoos, the large zoos and major zoos, have went from raw meat to a science diet. These cats used to do very poorly in the major zoos on just eating meat. They had teeth problems, digestive problems. They aged rapidly. I'm almost positive. I think I saw a picture of a lion in one of the large zoos in Nebraska or in the Dakotas, and it was like 15 or 18 years old, and it still looked in prime condition. And the zoo claimed they went to a scientific diet on that animal, which included grains. Now, I don't know the ingredients, but it probably included grains. And I just would like to say, like grizzly bears, I don't know if that's strictly related to this, but they are omnivores, and they do well on a varied diet. And I'm just wondering myself if just feeding these animals meat diet is going to keep them healthy. And the only other thing I want to mention is I just can't understand. We grew 100,000, hundreds of thousands of acres of wheat in the United States. Can't the pet companies get their wheat from America.
Yeah, well, we'll get our guest to respond to your comments after our weather break, because it's weather break time, and we need to find out what it's going to be like. Then we'll continue talking with Stacy LaPointe, founder and owner of Companion Natural Pet Food in Milwaukee. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We will wonder in our next hour whether it would be a good idea for stores in Wisconsin to stop offering plastic bags. San Francisco has become the first community in the nation to ban plastic bags at grocery stores. Should Wisconsin communities follow suit? That's coming up in our next hour. We're talking about a raw food diet for your pet during this half hour, something that apparently more and more people are turning to, that and an organic food diet, following the recall of pet foods and the illnesses in pets around the country, illnesses and deaths in pets around the country. The FDA yesterday announced that it is banning imports of wheat gluten from a company in China following the deaths of these pets. The FDA said that it found the chemical melamine or melamine in samples of the wheat gluten. And there have been other companies besides Menu Foods now that have announced recalls of products because they used this Chinese company for wheat gluten as well. We welcome your questions and comments for our guest, who is a promoter of a raw food diet for your pets, Stacy LaPointe, founder and owner of Companion Natural Pet Food in Milwaukee. We heard from Stephen Green Bay, Stacy, who thought that zoos around the country are feeding their big cats a diet now that includes grains, and he thought that that was healthier. At least that's the impression he's under. What do you know about that?
Well, I don't know that much about it, so I can't say too much, but I do know a little bit about that most zoos, I think many of them, are struggling financially. And I think it's difficult to acquire really high-quality protein for the larger animals especially. I know way back in the day, zoos would get roadkill and things from different county agencies, police departments, sheriff's departments, whatever, that could get this stuff to zoos. But nowadays, ingredients are so inexpensive. I won't mention any particular brand name of food, but if there are dry foods being provided in zoos, most likely these ingredients are coming from rendering plants. And so rendering plants tend to take a variety of ingredients from several different sources and cook them down into protein meals and fats that can be used in diets. And that's what most bagged and canned foods are. So I would assume that that's what they're doing. Vitamin and mineral premixes can help animals quite a bit. We do put a vitamin and mineral premix in our raw food. But the results that we have achieved with our diets and with if you just go on to the raw diet websites, the manufacturers around the country, and read their testimonials, people are seeing dramatic turnarounds, especially in allergies. And I think that for domestic animals compared to the large wild animals, I'm not sure scientifically how to describe their biological systems and whether or not the same diet would apply. I do think the grizzly bear is a little bit far off because dogs are considered opportunistic carnivores. I mean, out in the wild, if they cannot find prey animal, they will scavenge. And but cats do not do that. Cats are definitely obligate carnivores. If they do not have quality animal protein out in the wild, they will starve. They will not scavenge on rotten apples and pumpkin patches and things like that.
I had a very, very odd cat who would wanted to eat corn on the cob, though, so there are exceptions, right?
Well right, and it's very different in the home. I mean, psychologically and behaviorally, animals act way different in the home than they do out in the wild, especially if they're hunting all the time and they're able to, well, they're the sole source of nutrition, and they don't have that personal interaction. Of course, when you drop something on the floor, sorry about the thunder there.
Oh, yeah. Wow, that's a loud one.
In Milwaukee. When you drop something on the floor, it could be lettuce, it could be a carrot, and your cat might run over and munch on it. And we do use a little bit of vegetation in our foods for cats because we're imitating the prey animal concept, and they would eat the stomach contents of an animal. So if they were having a rabbit or a bird or something, they would have seeds and grasses and things like that. So we're imitating that, but it must be pureed. It must be broken down. And when you freeze little pieces of carrot, the cells actually rupture and make the nutrition inside there more accessible. Dogs and cats don't have the type of digestive system to break down cellulose. So you just feed a dog a whole carrot, it usually passes whole. They don't really get much out of it. They might chew it up into a few bites, and then you'll see little pieces of carrot in the stool out in the yard the next day. So that's why it's important to get the nutrition out of the vegetables. It really must be pureed or pulped or ground up finely to get the nutrition out of it.
Yeah, is this something that I've heard a lot of people that make their own food for their pets? I know you're in the business, certainly, of making it for them, but is this something I could do on my own?
And I did start that way. I mean, I did it for a couple of years, and it is, I made a hobby out of it. It makes sense. I mean, you can shop for your pet and prepare food for your pet just like you can for your family. There are books out there to help you with it. Many people will say consult a veterinarian. If you have a veterinarian who supports that kind of thing and doesn't want to just sell the bagged or canned out of the office, great, because then you'd have some medical attention on hand just for advice and moral support. But the truth is, it's not that simple. Variety, you know, meats, they need the quality muscle meat. They need bones and cartilage and some organ meat. And with a little electric kitchen grinder, not the KitchenAid type, but a real sausage grinder that you can pick up for about $100, you can grind up some chicken wings and chicken necks and things like that and pulp your vegetables and add a little vitamin and mineral supplement, and you have basically a good meal for an animal and a dog or a cat. So, but there's a little bit of research involved. I wouldn't just encourage everyone to run out and start doing it. You have to do your research, but we just take the work out of it for you. And I know you mentioned price, that the Paul Newman's was pricier than what you're used to paying. And I do have to comment that it's a trade-off. I mean, look what happened. It's worth those pets' lives that were lost to have paid more for better food. And who knew? I mean, now we know, and now it's coming out. But the truth is, you pay more for better food, but you save money down the line, not only on your pet's health, but on the vet bills, because it just balances out.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because how much is a raw food diet?
Well, if you average them, and this is just a ballpark average, because we have chicken, beef, turkey, duck, and fish, and all the varieties cost different amounts. But if you average them together, and you were feeding it exclusively every day, it would be about $2.50 a pound. So, you know, if you've got two big dogs at home, I mean, you can count on, you know, $7,500 a month to feed your dogs. It can be more depending on their age and their activity level. But, you know, with small dogs and with cats, it's not that bad. I mean, people can make it happen, and you can supplement. You can make some on your own and buy some pre-prepared. And we sell books on our website that teach people how to do it themselves, too, because our goal is, of course, to sell food. But I started trying to get people to become aware. So we certainly offer the education as well.
CompanionNaturalPetFood.com. All one word, CompanionNaturalPetFood.com. Mike in Castle Rock, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. In my opinion, dogs are omnivores. They do eat vegetables. You could see what some of what they eat in some of the canned foods. They'll put carrots in there. They'll put peas and other vegetable products. Problem I have with the small companies is they're probably not going to be regulated. And you can talk about all the health benefits, but unless they're regulated by someone, and I don't mean by themselves, I think the same thing is going to happen.
Are you regulated, Stacey?
Absolutely. I mean, any pet food company that puts out a complete and balanced diet for all life stages has an AFCO statement. If you know what AFCO is, it's the Association of Animal Feed Control Officials. It's basically the governing body over the pet food industry. They have profiles that have been established, nutritional profiles back in the 50s. Now, granted, they are designed for kibble makers. That's when the profiles were put in place. But raw food diets, any fresh food, blows those profiles out of the water. I mean, it's not hard to achieve those profiles to get animals to sustain life. And if you look into regulation, I mean, what does it mean when a pet company can have a feeding trial? They can put out a food and they can feed it to, say, 75 dogs over 6 months. And if 15 of them die in that 6 months or so, and I'm just using numbers. I don't know the exact numbers, but some animals are allowed to die in that study, and that food can still be put out on the market. That's the regulation you're talking about. I mean, our foods do not I've been feeding our foods to several animals that I know for 6 and 7 years now, and they're doing wonderfully. We have 100,000 pounds a year going out and never a complaint or a bad situation. I think it's the smaller companies who have more of their finger on the pulse. I mean, we're making our food in 300-pound batches. We're picking out the ingredients ourselves. We know our suppliers. We make it ourselves. We don't hire a co-packer to source our ingredients and put the product in a bag and ship it to us.
Yeah.
So, yes, we're regulated. If you use an AFCO statement, you're liable to be inspected and have your product analyzed.
I wish we had time for one last call. Jeff in Wausau, sorry we don't have time, but he has a dog who's 20 years old, and he's been feeding him on maybe a raw food diet. He does have some rice in there, but it's mainly tuna and rice or turkey and rice. What do you think, Stacy?
A 20-year-old dog that's been eating tuna and rice or turkey and rice alone for that long, that is amazing that animal's doing well. I'm assuming he must be putting something in there for vitamins, minerals,
yeah.
Or maybe the animal's been eating this just for the most recent few years. I would need more details on that, but of course that'd be astonishing.
Yeah. Thanks very much for your time. More information on your website, companionnaturalpetfood.com.
Thanks so much, Joy.
Yeah, Stacy LaPointe, founder and owner of Companion Natural Pet Food in Milwaukee. Thanks to all of our guests this hour, Rochelle Lavins in our first half hour, organic food, pet food manufacturer. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Karen Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.